You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison. Hey everybody, you're listening to Nerd Overload, your favorite pop and geek culture show, and it's time to make the donuts. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
And I'm Cody.
We have a great show for you this week. Bunch of news to go over as usual, but first let's get into some things we've been checking out. And instead of going through and doing individuals, I think we all have the same check it out this week. So who wants to start?
Switch it up.
Let's switch it up. Hey, all right. Yeah, we got the Nintendo Switch.
We all did.
At midnight, or two of us got it at midnight. One of us got it the next day.
Three of us got it at midnight.
Three out of the four. That's right. Oh yeah, that's right. You guys both got one.
Yeah.
So
I went to the store as soon as they opened the next morning.
Gotcha. Yeah. So what'd you guys think?
I like it a lot. Is it good? I mean, a lot of it's not really finished yet, but
yeah.
It plays Breath of the Wild, and it's a phenomenal, amazing game, so hey, it's great.
That's my biggest complaint for it. It's like, I like the way everything feels. It seems to be pretty quick and runs really smoothly. I just wish there was more content and more features.
And it's coming.
I know.
It's coming.
I know. That's why I'm not sweating it too bad.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how chunky and like a Fisher Price toy the Wii U was until I had the Switch in my hands.
Oh,
it's so techno smooth.
Oh yeah, this is a very slick, like, grown-up console
for
kinda.
Adults.
Yeah. The Wii U gamepad was like a Fisher Price iPad.
It really was.
Yeah, the touchscreen always felt real cheap on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was. It was like a big 3DS screen.
Yeah. You know, we should probably describe what the Switch is for folks who haven't been following it. The Switch is the newest Nintendo game console, and the big gimmick feature for this one is it's modular. You can plug it into your TV, or you can take it on the go as a handheld device, and it works seamlessly either way with the games.
It really quick, too. Uh-huh. You just put it right in that dock, and it's right on your
TV.
It
just loads right up.
And you can just pull it out of there, and it's exactly where you were mm-hmm. in the game. It's completely seamless.
Yeah, it's very, very, very cool. And the controllers for the game system snap into the sides of the screen for mobile mode.
Yep, but you can also take them off and play different games, and there's a kickstand on the back of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing at, you know, things like, you know, like 1-2 Switch and
right.
You know, things like that.
Yeah, as three different modes. It has the TV mode, the, I don't know what they're calling, the kickstand one. It's like tabletop mode.
Tabletop mode.
And then the handheld portable mode.
Right. And the side controllers can be used as one controller for larger games, or you can turn them on their side and use them as mini, like, almost like mini Super Nintendo controllers.
Yeah.
For older games and party games and stuff like that. And there's a lot more technical details, like the high def motion sensor rumble control or something like that.
HD rumble.
HD rumble. Yep.
The only thing I've played that has that was Blaster Master.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's rumbles with different varying degrees of strength, which, I mean, makes sense. It's a logical evolution of rumble. It's like somebody at Nintendo went, hey, we haven't done anything different with Rumble. Nobody's done anything different with that since the Rumble Pack on the Nintendo 64.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can make that a little better. And it is.
Yeah. Yeah. None of us got 1-2 Switch, so we can't really test out how precise the Rumble is.
Yeah. I think playing 1-2 Switch by yourself would be a little lonely.
That would be kind of sad. 1-2 Switch is a party game. It's built specifically for, you know,
groups.
A large group of people.
I've heard it's not substantial and it's not worth the, it's like $40 it costs.
It should have been packed in.
Yeah.
What they should have done was charged an extra $20 for the system and had it packed in.
I still would have bought it.
I would have too. Absolutely. Of course, I sold like all of my other game systems to get the Switch.
Yeah,
but
I got rid of my 360 and my entire Xbox game library.
The same thing with my Wii U. Yeah, but again, worth it. Totally worth
it.
Like,
part of me was like, "What about my DS? I think I'm gonna hold on to that a little longer."
There are two games that need to come out for the Switch that will cause me to get rid of my 3DS: Pokemon and Animal Crossing. Because those two games I play a lot mobile. I have a lot of downtime at work,
Yeah.
And those two games, more than anything, is what I use to unwind while I'm on downtime at work. So, yeah, if those two games were released for the Switch, I would sell my 3DS to get those games. Honestly, like, the rest of everything else I have for that system is negligible. I can pick up on eShop probably in 6 months.
I want Animal Crossing on the Switch real bad.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it, and it's like, I want that.
I'm still waiting on a Smash. I don't even care if it's a port of the Wii U Smash. I just want Smash.
Rumors say within the year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, probably maybe 2018, but early 2018. So it might be a year away. But still, that's still good.
I honestly hope they just port it. I don't think there's a whole lot. I mean, like...
The problem they have is because the game was built with two screens in mind. And they have to rejigger a lot of things to eliminate one of those two screens. That's why a lot of the Wii U ports aren't coming quite as quickly as...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like thinking about like the differences between like Breath of the Wild for the Switch and the Wii U outside the graphical differences.
From what I understand, the only difference is there's a map on the Wii U screen.
I kind of figured
the mini screen.
I kind of figured that
it doesn't do anything. You can't switch your gear or anything on the bottom screen. It's just the map.
So until you unlock the tower to show the whole map, you're just gonna be looking at blue lines.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I read somewhere, I think in like a Kotaku article or something, that the game originally used the gamepad features like a lot, and they had to cut all that out when they were making it multi-platform.
Yeah. But probably.
Which kind of sucks, because it probably did some pretty interesting things with the gamepad, but...
Well, I can see that, because the Link's like pad in the game kind of looks like a cross between the Switch and a
smartphone.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Sheikah Slate.
Yeah, so I could see like selecting the different powers, like hot swapping them and that sort of thing on the screen.
Yeah.
Would be a feature, but I guess, you know, not so much anymore.
The only thing I really don't like is the little bottom left D-pad.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
just buttons.
Yeah, but I understand why they had to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's so the two Joy-Cons are the same when you take them off and use them in multiplayer.
Yeah.
But if you wanted a D-pad for, like, say, Shovel Knight, it's bad.
Yeah, it makes me wonder how Street Fighter 2 Ultimate is going to work, because I can't use stick. For old Street Fighter 2, I have to use D-pad to do the inputs right, and I don't know how I'm going to be able to do diagonals with the buttons.
Yeah,
that's going to be weird. And I feel bad for when you're playing in like party mode. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for whoever has second player, because that Joy-Con, the buttons are moved over a little bit,
and it's just like in the middle.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. It's not a good button feel. But other than that, I've really. Have no complaints.
No, nope, for the most
Nintendo
part.
Nintendo makes the best D-pads too. Well, because they invented them.
Yeah.
But of any company, and this one doesn't have not a single D-pad anywhere on the device.
Yeah. Very weird. Although, does the Pro Controller have a D-pad on it?
Oh,
be on the left side probably.
Yeah, it is. I think it's an actual D-pad.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I think.
Right on.
Let me. Go look a picture, because I don't remember. I don't even really look at my Pro Controller. I just play with
it. It's that well designed of a controller. You don't have to look
at it. It's honestly, like, the sensitivity and everything, I would say it's almost on par with, like, a Steam controller.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent.
Supposedly it works the PC. I haven't tried it yet.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, a lot of the guts inside of the Switch are NVIDIA Shield stuff. It's the same thing that the Steam boxes are built with. So that kind of makes sense a little bit.
Yeah, it's an actual D-pad.
Oh, right on. Excellent.
So maybe I just
like
need
I know
to buy
I like
those.
I know I use it, but I just I never really think about it. The only time I look at my controller honestly is if I'm activating an amiibo, because the thing is right under the Switch logo on the front of the controller.
Oh, really? See, on the Joy-Cons, it's the right stick.
Yeah, you got to set it on the stick.
You gotta
it's
tap
weird
it on the thing. Yeah, that is a little weird.
Yeah, I just sit there right. Over the there's like a little Switch logo on the face. You just go.
Very cool. While we're talking about this, we should probably mention there have been some issues with some people and their Switches.
Yeah, I mean, no new technology is free of issues.
Anything that's mass-produced that fast, too.
Yeah, but I've been hearing issues with dead pixels on the screen.
Every device
You're going to get that.
It has that. Yeah. It's not exclusive to the Switch at all.
Yeah, you're going to have that.
Nope, all LCD tech is like that.
Yeah, I've heard the left controller, side of the controller, has been having some Bluetooth connectivity issues.
It'll be interesting to see how they handle that, since it seems to be an internal problem with the actual design of the...
Yeah, I bet within 6 months they're going to have a press release saying all of the Switches that we release now have a updated design Joy-Con.
Like a Joy-Con L 2.0 or something.
Something like that. And that's probably the way it's going to be, so I don't know.
I haven't had any problems with it, though, honestly.
Yeah.
I can't say much. I don't use my Joy-Con.
Yeah, right. he's the Pro controller.
Yeah. I guess I should ask, Cody, have you had any problems with your Switch?
No, absolutely not.
Samantha, have you?
Nope, nothing.
Josh?
I had a slight issue yesterday, but I am still trying to figure out if it's an actual issue with the Switch itself or my Pro controller.
But it worked out of the box?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that means three-fourths of us had Switches that worked out of the box. Yeah, when I opened mine up, my right controller would not hold a charge, which was a little frustrating. But luckily, I was able to get that taken care of really quickly.
Yeah.
And yeah, shout out to Justin. Thank you for helping me out with that, buddy. I know you're listening, so there you go. but anyway, other than that, once I got that little problem fixed, I haven't had a problem with it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I don't have any buyer's remorse.
Oh, no.
No.
And I've been talking to a lot of people, and you got some people that just dog on it because it's Nintendo.
It's Nintendo.
But...
It's very popular, very in vogue to be down on Nintendo these days because they're not like the big Call of Duty platform.
And the thing is, they don't
like
have to be.
They don't have to be.
Nintendo's got name recognition. They were the big home console for decades. And, you know, it's... People are like, oh, it's the children's console or whatever. I'm like, you know, it's fun. They make good games. They don't need to bow down to the whole
trend. Exactly. The truth is they're never going to win a race with other consoles when it comes to like Call of Duty or Halo or anything.
The big high point, like
the big Evo games.
Yeah.
The big fight game tournament games. They're not going to win. So why even enter that fight? Do something different. Do something unique.
And that's the thing is, they always do something different. They always do something unique.
Yeah.
And their games are always quality. Even Nintendo at its worst is still...
Quality.
Still pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, the last couple of Paper Marios are kind of... Mm-hmm. They're still fun.
They're consistent.
Yeah.
Nintendo is... if nothing else, Nintendo is consistent when it comes to their games.
I tell you, though, like Breath of the Wild... I haven't had this much fun and wonder in a game.
Yeah, let's get into Breath of the Wild.
Time.
Because this was the... Right now, for a lot of people, the Switch is a Zelda box.
Yeah.
I mean, for me right now, it's a Zelda box. I have one game for the system.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only substantial game that's come out for it.
Yeah, and like we mentioned earlier, that might be one of the only big gripes I have with the system is that the launch titles were not...
They're basically very
sparse. Yeah, they're very, very sparse.
I'm going to be so mad that Mario was not a launch title for the rest of my days.
Well, in a perfect world, it should have been, but I have a feeling they want to wait until there are more Switches in, one, more Switches in the wild to have more people buy it, and two, release Mario around Christmas time because sales for game systems and games go up. And I bet you there's going to be a bundled $350 set Switch and Mario Odyssey combo. I would put money on it, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. This game is phenomenal.
Dare I say the best Zelda game since Link to the Past?
I would agree. Yeah, it's very good.
It probably knocked Wind Waker off of being one of my favorite Zelda games.
It did the same for me with Majora's Mask, honestly. I think I'm having more fun with this game than I did with Majora's Mask, and I loved Majora's
Mask. I will say, though, playing the game, I do notice a lot of similarities to Wind Waker.
Same kind of open world, but this one actually has stuff in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just an empty ocean.
Yeah.
With little islands here and there.
Mm-hmm.
The game is incredibly ambitious.
Yes.
It's done things that no Zelda's ever done. It's taken some Zelda concepts and changed them for the better.
Sure, sure.
Like, have you noticed anytime you open a chest, it doesn't do the whole do-do-do-do?
No, they've streamlined that a lot.
Yeah. There are actually, like, very few like Zelda staples I've actually ran into in the game.
Basically all the items you get in the first hour,
mm-hmm.
more or less.
Yeah.
By the time you leave the training, like the prelude
the
island.
The isolated plateau.
You can go to the final boss straight away. You'll get rocked immediately, but you can get there.
I'm getting rocked by mini bosses.
If you're super good, you could beat Ganon within the first after playing the game for about an hour.
Yeah, I have seen people doing speedruns.
Yeah.
I think an hour and 13 minutes is the current record.
I love the speedrun strat. Have you seen this online where they use the time stop power?
Oh, and jump on a rock.
To jump on a rock, and like SpongeBob, they ride that baby for miles.
Prospector Pioneers used to ride these babies for miles.
Oh, it's great.
It is pretty funny. I watched the video about it, and I was like, oh, man, why didn't I even think of that?
Yeah, it's genius.
And the thing is, you can climb just about anything. Oh,
yeah. Everything is climbable.
That. Yeah, it's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Not everything, but just about. Like, mostly the ancient Sheikah tech.
Yeah, well, you can't. If it doesn't look like you can climb it, you probably can't.
If the walls are slick, yeah.
No.
If
it's raining, you can't.
Oh, climbing in the rain is super frustrating.
Oh, I don't even do it. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till the rain stops.
Yeah.
I found out the hard way about getting struck by lightning.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Take that metal armor off or you're going to get struck by lightning.
I didn't even have metal armor. I had a,
oh, you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
No, I had a sword and a metal shield.
Yeah. Well, that would do it.
I was like sitting there. I'm like the sparks started happening. I'm like, what is this? What is going on?
Yeah. It surprised me the first time too. Yeah.
I was like, what? I texted Elswick. I'm like, I just got struck by lightning. He goes, yeah, I got to ditch all the metal stuff. But right after I respawned from that, I was sneaking around with my wooden stick and my wooden shield.
Yeah.
And I found a Mokoblin camp.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a metal throwing spear sticking out of the ground near their camp. I was like, I wonder if this will work. So I pick it up and I sat there and I held it with the throw button. And I waited till it really started sparking, and I chucked it in the middle of the camp. And one of the blue Mokoblins like looked at it, picked it up, and it just
zapped him.
Lightning. Oh, not just him. It killed the whole camp.
That's awesome. See, that's the kind of thing I love about this game, because you run into those impossible, weird, like game-only situations that are like almost like epic movie style kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's stupid, but I love... This is weird to say. I love it when you fall off the cliff and you end up dying, because the ragdoll for like your player model, once when you go limp, you really go limp and you just flop around like a marionette, like rolling down this hill. It's hilarious. I mean, it's frustrating because you have to
start over. Yeah.
But yeah.
This is a Zelda game that for once is not afraid to kill you.
Oh no, this is a game's tough.
One of the bad guys just straight up push me off a cliff.
Oh man, the first time I ran into Ice Keys, I was so mad, because they do this like this dash run through you and freezing you solid. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I hate no.
What's the stupidest way you guys have died?
Aside from running out of stamina.
Like totally epic like fail. I'm sorry to say that, but
oh yeah, okay. Well,
can't think of any better words than the epic fail.
Well, it was early in the game. I was testing out the different attack features, and I was on a cliff, very similar to a guy pushing you off. I went and did a jump attack and sailed over him and off the cliff into the void. And so he's jumped, like he's flying through the air with sword held high. Like, I'm going to get this eventually. And just... nothing, just into the gray. Yeah. Aww. It was great.
I had a good one the other day, but I forget what it was. I know I've died in dumb ways.
Oh yeah,
the first time I ran into the stone Talos, one of the first mini bosses. Rock Monster Man. I was running around his feet trying to find a point where I could climb up on him. Mm-hmm. And he just flopped on me and killed me.
Oh yeah I've had the giant what are they called? Hinoxes, the giant Mogoblins.
Oh yeah,
I had one like do a.
That's butt. The Cyclops one, right?
Yeah, had a. I was going behind to try to stab him, and yeah, he butt bounced me. It's like just poof, done.
One time I was trying to cook and I somehow missed the pot and it caught everything around it on fire.
Oh, like, that's great. That
I set myself on fire cooking.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I stepped a little too close to the pot and I set my clothes on fire. Oh, yeah. Everything's so weird. Like, dry grass burns, wooden mm-hmm. weapons burn.
Yeah.
Animals burn.
Accidentally used fire arrows on a bear and caught it on fire. And then they accidentally mounted it while it was on fire and they're catching the woods on fire.
Running around on a flaming bear.
Oh, that's awesome.
You can see like a trail of fire behind it.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
I've seen somebody kill themselves with a door. Like, with stasis-ing open a door and the door swings open and kills them.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I had this point where I was running around in the woods, and it was the second time I ran to a mini-boss. The bar comes up and it says stall knocks, and I didn't think about it. And I was like, oh, and I can't see what's going on. All I see is a bear running at me. I'm like, oh, this bear is a boss named Stall Knocks. Okay. And I go to shoot this stupid charging bear in the face with my bow, and I look up, and here's this big skeleton Minock looking at me.
Nice.
And he rips a tree out of the ground and starts wielding it as a club.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's Stall Knocks. And then he crushed me.
Have you noticed that everything we've said about this, we haven't talked about story, we haven't talked about like any of the main bosses or anything. Like
one,
and that's like a major part of this game is that you could just do whatever. Like most of the time I jump into the game and I just horse around.
Wander.
Yeah.
Sometimes literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my proudest moments was I had a horse I just got that I haven't registered yet, so mm-hmm. it was still kind of wandering around. Mm-hmm. I just did the tower and I paraglided off of the tower onto the back of the horse.
Nice. Oh, that's excellent.
I saw a video where this guy paraglided off a cliff straight onto a horse and started taming it.
Ah, cool.
Gotcha.
I was getting ready to leave the Great Plateau, mm-hmm. and I was by the Temple of Time.
Yeah.
And I've gotten into this habit of just climbing every weird rock structure I find.
Oh, yeah, that's part of my thing is I look at a thing and go, I'm going to climb that.
I look at it, I'm like, that looks weird. I bet there's something up there.
Yes, I have the same thought.
And there usually is.
Yeah, nine times out of ten there is. And mm-hmm. mostly it's a little, you know, DQ little tree guy.
Yeah.
The Connex or whatever they're called.
Korok.
Yeah. Korok, that's right.
Yeah.
And I climb this little rock thing next to the Temple of Time, sitting in the middle of this little pool, and there's a rusty sword sticking out of the ground, in a rock, actually. Mm-hmm. It was like a sword in the stone kind of thing. I'm like, oh, this is like a reference to like the Temple of Time with the sword. And it's just a rusty broadsword. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, time to leave. And I running jumped off this thing, mm-hmm. which was a dumb idea because that depleted about like a third of my stamina.
Yeah.
Into the water. And then my stamina is just going. I'm like, I had to swim like maybe 10 feet and I almost drowned. I'm like, I'm an idiot. Why did I do that?
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, I've really not gotten much into the main story at all. I've been wandering around, finding stuff, just doing goofy crap.
I'm about a quarter of the way into it. And
yeah, I haven't fought any of the main bosses.
Yeah.
I fought too many bosses.
The boss fights are pretty cool.
They are. They're very neat.
Okay, so that thing that you can see in the sky off in the distance, is that one of the divine beasts?
I think, and I'm not sure, that's where the Rito people, the bird people live.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I have no idea.
That was my other guess. Yeah. Was going to be the Rito. I was by a stable and I heard Epona's song, mm-hmm. like being played like on a flute or something.
Accordion.
Oh yeah, an accordion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was like, hey, I know that song.
It's Bird Person.
Yeah, and there's a Rito bard sitting there playing a song. I was like, aw.
Yeah.
Epona, here's your song. I'm not going to fidget because it's not radio appropriate.
Yeah, no, I love that they're repurposing a lot of the songs from the various games.
Yeah.
Into this. It's very, very cool.
Actually, maybe one of the low points of the game is the fact that there's hardly any music at all.
Yeah. In that sense, it kind of reminds me of Minecraft, oddly, because a lot of it is just you in the wilderness by yourself you know, just kind of going, and every once in a while there's incidental music.
Yeah.
But yeah, like when you're riding a horse, there's music sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's a slow swell. When you cook a really good food dish, mm-hmm. it makes a fun little tune. Or if you make a really, really bad one.
It's pixelated out.
Yeah. Not all of them are pixelated.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Some of them are just gross.
But in the mornings, they play like a little chime or whatever, like a little...
It's mostly like ambient, incidental stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're like in a fight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's more in line with Ocarina, too. A lot of the soundtrack of Ocarina is...
incidental,
incidental stuff.
Yeah. I love the recovered memory feature, because you're basically unlocking like a mini movie.
Yeah, that's where most of the story is, mm-hmm. is going to these locations to unlock your memories.
Getting the memory back, yeah.
Breath of the Wild is almost like a sequel to a game that we're getting in movie form during the second game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the cutscenes are good and well voice acted. Good.
Yeah. I was a little leery about the voice acting before the game came out, but I think they nailed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Link doesn't talk.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Nope, Link does not talk. I'm still a little mad that Link is right-handed, though, and not left-handed.
What's a different Link?
Oh, I understand that, but that was another thing, like, how, like, kind of depressing the game is sometimes.
Oh, it's a little, bleak. Yeah, it's bleak.
It's bleak.
Like, I mean, Hyrule's gone.
It's basically mm-hmm. post-apocalypse Zelda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's ruins of everything everywhere.
Yeah.
And I, like, for a while, I was like, man, are there any people in this game? There has to be people.
Eventually, you find the people.
Yeah, eventually I find people. And then you wander the wilderness for another 8 hours till you find another person.
Yeah.
Oh, look, a traveling salesman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Buy some beetles from this guy.
From
Why not?
Beetle. Buy
yeah.
some beetles
Yeah, buy
from
beetles
beetle.
From beetle.
Yeah.
When I found my first great fairy.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Yeah.
She kind of cracks me up.
Yeah, she's great.
Also, I like the use of light. Like, especially at night, and you're, like, kind of scoping out, like, things, and you can see, like, that orange glow way over there, or that blue glow over there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very, very cool.
Also, the range of high-tech things in this Zelda world.
Yeah, but it's, like, ancient high-tech.
I know,
yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. It's, like Atlantean weird goofy crap.
It's very cool.
Well, that was an idea from the original.
Yeah.
The very original Zelda. There was plans to have high-tech sci-fi stuff in it. But that they kind of threw by the wayside.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, you kind of get that like in Wind Waker. Like there's some like mm-hmm. weird ancient tech. Like one of the first things I thought when you get the Sheikah tablet, I was like, okay, so it's, you know,
it's not
Link's
bad.
Smartphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and it kind of is. There is one complaint that I have for the game, and it's a very, very minor one. There is some graphical slowdown when you're in a large field with a lot of tall grass.
Yeah.
My complaint is that you can't pet the animals.
Yeah, you can't pet the puppies.
I've had it, like, when it's about to do something physics heavy, mm-hmm. it kind of hiccups for a second.
Yeah.
And then does it.
My fan gets louder when it kicks on.
Especially with, like, killing a moblin, like the big tall ones. Mm-hmm. When they ragdoll and drop all their crap, like, sometimes my system will just hiccup for a second. And
yeah.
Then...
But it only lasts about a half second, and then it's done.
Yeah.
And they don't, and it doesn't pop off frequently enough to have it be a real issue.
Yeah.
I fought this weird monster the other day, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it's because it was during a thunderstorm, mm-hmm. or is this the area I was at. It's the first time I've ever seen one. I haven't seen one since. Mm-hmm. It was this weird guy. It almost looked like a Kingdom Hearts Heartless a little bit. His black face with yellow eyes.
Was it a Wizzrobe? Was he hopping around and disappearing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Wizzrobe.
Okay.
These guys suck.
Yeah, he kept teleporting and just running on air.
Uh-huh. Yep,
and he had a lightning rod.
Yep.
And he was shooting balls of lightning at
me. And you can pick up the lightning rod.
I know. I had it for a while.
It's pretty cool.
It is
cool.
I was killing Octoroks with it.
Nice.
A lot of the weapons are really cool. And it, like, you'd think you'd miss having all these tools from the other Zeldas, because there's not nearly as many item-y tool things like in the old ones. But honestly, it's fine because of the amount of different weapons and armor and stuff.
And they all break.
Get. Yeah.
And so you're constantly going through weapons and shields and stuff.
Actually,
shields not so much.
I like, I really don't break many shields.
Yeah.
But I love grabbing the different stall monsters' bone arms and beating them to death with their own arms.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty fun. Listen, we really got to take a break here. But when we come back, we'll get in some news. We're back. That was Died in Your Arms by Cutting Crew. Y'all remember Cutting Crew, right?
Oh, yeah.
That classic band, Cutting Crew, with all their hits. Those classic Cutting Crew hits.
Yeah, they're up there with Dexy's Midnight Runner.
I think so, yeah. About as many hits. Anyway, we played that because that song was featured heavily in the new Deadpool 2 teaser trailer. It wasn't really even a teaser. It was just a...
It was like a short.
It was like a skit.
Yeah, it was like a skit saying, hey, this movie's going to happen. And it's great.
It was so funny.
It's super great. And like almost no action. It's just almost completely a static shot of Deadpool changing in a phone booth.
To the Superman theme.
Yeah,
the actual Superman
But he takes
theme.
Like 4 minutes while this mugging is happening in the background.
You hear the guy screaming for help.
Help, oh, you gotta help me, someone. Please help, please help. And it's just 4 minutes of him changing and like slamming around in this phone booth.
And his like butt being pressed against the glass.
Yeah, a lot of butt shot.
And then he calls the costume guy.
He calls the costume guy, yeah. And he makes fun of Wolverine and his Australian accent, makes fun of Hugh Jackman.
Stan Lee even pops up in the teaser trailer.
Oh, yeah, Stan Lee does.
Oh, man.
And Deadpool yells at him.
Zip it, Stan Lee!
I can't wait for Deadpool 2. It's going to be good. It's...
Man, the first one was so good. Like, it was, like, so good out of, like, left field, it was ridiculous.
It's being written and directed by one of the guys that did John Wick. Like, the first John Wick. So it's going to be, like, action, super action-packed.
So, an actual gun budget?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I think they earned his gun budget.
I think so, yeah.
The only thing I question is the relevancy of a Superman telephone booth change. It seemed a little forced. Like,
well, make the joke.
They make the joke, I can't believe there's even a phone booth around.
Yeah, but
didn't
there
disappear in 1998?
Yeah.
You can't do a weird thing and just say, oh, that was weird that weird thing happened. Like,
I don't know. I liked it.
I think the phone booth is a classic trope of Superman. I think
making fun of that's been done to death.
Oh, well, sure.
I think they could have did something better. It was a good, I liked it. It was funny, but I think it could have come up with something better than that.
I know. I think maybe it was like a comment on maybe Deadpool trying to be a little more hero-y, maybe. I mean, he was going to save the guy. I mean, he didn't. He wasn't terribly too broken up.
I don't think they put that much thought into it.
I don't know.
I think so.
Maybe I'm reading deeper into a stupid trailer about a stupid funny action movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. I liked it.
I liked it too. I'm there with you, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, don't. I didn't not like it. I just.
Also, is it just me or did the phone booth look strangely enough like the phone booth used in
Bill and Ted?
Yeah.
The film phone booth.
Yeah, that's it.
With the sniper, yeah.
How dated is that movie Phone Booth now? Think about that for a minute. The entire movie takes place in a phone booth.
I'm trapped. What is this box? I can't get out. There's a sniper. Why did I come in here to begin with?
Well, wasn't he like talking to the sniper on the phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was working at the movie theater when that movie came out.
The world's last phone booth. Yeah.
Like, there's not even a phone in it. There's just a loose cord hanging there because somebody took the phone years ago.
Well, along with the Deadpool trailer, there was a little bit of casting news. They've actually cast an actress for the role of Domino, who is a longtime X-Men character, and another...
X-Force member,
Rob Liefeld creation.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, yeah, she's got plenty of pouches.
Yeah, she has plenty of pouches. And she actually debuted officially... in the same issue that Deadpool did, although she appeared a few issues before, but that was actually a shapeshifter using the form of Domino. But the actual character appeared for the first time along with Deadpool in the issue that they did.
I always liked Domino. I always thought she was a cool character.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
With an interesting power set. Like,
yeah, her power is she doesn't miss.
It's luck-based, it's stress-based telekinesis is what they actually call it.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, yeah, she, under stress, her telekinesis kicks in and she never misses a shot and she just dodges things.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it look like she has really, really good luck.
Yeah.
The actress they cast, her name is, and let me look it up, her name is Zazie Beetz. She's known mostly for...
Atlanta?
Atlanta, yeah, that's what it is.
Atlantis.
She's
from Atlantis.
The last survivor of Atlantis has been cast as Domino. And this is interesting casting because Domino in the comics is part of her mutation is she has all white, like chalk white skin with one like
black dot
over her eye. And the actress they cast is African-American. In the comics, they've never actually gone into the ethnicity of
Domino,
but Rob Liefeld has always maintained that she was African-American.
Mm.
And when her mutant powers kicked in adolescence, it changed her
skin color, pigment,
which, I don't know, kind of raises maybe an issue there. But I think because she doesn't become Caucasian, she becomes like
literally white.
I think maybe that gets a little bit of a pass, maybe.
I never really thought that deep into that as far as with that character anyway.
Yeah. Well, in this day and age, you have to think that deep into it because...
I get that. But it's interesting they're bringing in, I think, more X-Force characters.
Well, they're doing an X-Force movie eventually.
Yeah, and I like that. I want
that. And Deadpool's going to be part of that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for, those amazing, X-Force costumes.
Mm-hmm. I am waiting for the Cable casting.
I know,
They've been thrown around a couple of names.
Yeah, that's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a super big deal.
Yeah. They've thrown around names since the first movie came out.
Yeah. What names have you guys heard?
Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley as old, gruff, grizzled Cable, Nathaniel Summers. No. I'll tell you, I've heard Stephen Lang. He was the one that was like wanting the role. He's been petitioning for the role. I've heard Ron Perlman.
Wouldn't be bad.
And I've heard Russell Crowe.
I think Russell Crowe's my favorite.
I thought I heard, what's his name? John Hamm was a potential.
John Hamm, maybe. I think they need someone a little more grizzled.
I mean, he is.
Has he done any action roles?
Not really.
Yeah.
Unless you count that, that opening to Mad Men where his character is falling.
No, he did kind of an action role. He did that action comedy where he and Gal Gadot were super spies secretly living next door to Zach Galifianakis.
Oh. Yeah, I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, everyone did. So I guess he's done a little bit of action, but I don't know. I think we need someone a little bit older, a little more grizzled. Russell Crowe, I think, might be the pick because you need someone who can be super, super serious, like serious to the point of being over the top and looping back around to being hilarious, like in The Good Guys.
Yeah. Well, I think Ron Perlman would be just a little too
goofy.
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, he would be too Ron Perlman. I agree with that.
He's already Hellboy.
Yeah.
Which we'll never get another one of those.
Yeah, and Len can't do comedy.
Well, maybe that's the point, though, because Cable is the straight man.
But you got to at least understand comedy in order to play the straight man. You almost have to be funnier than the goofy guy to play the straight man, because to be able to get the jokes and not do them and actually be able to play up the other guy's jokes to make the funny guy funnier takes almost more talent, I think. Like with Abbott and Costello, I always thought Abbott was the more talented of the two because he was able to make Costello look that much
funnier. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
Because I'm not 80.
Well, back in my day, we had our wood-hewn video game systems. No,
the simulated wood grain.
Yes.
Back in my day, we had Sega Masters.
No, we had the Sega...
Cup and ball.
The Sega Cup and ball. We called it the beginner system because it wasn't a master yet. The Sega trainee system. Get off my lawn.
I had to explain to somebody at work the other day how Nintendo got started.
Oh, yeah?
I made a comment that the company's been around for like 100 years. They're like, how? What video games are they playing 100 years ago? I'm like, they made playing cards.
Playing cards and taxis.
Yeah. You goon.
And toys. That one love hotel.
Yeah.
Remember that? Anyway, I'm stoked for Deadpool. I think it's going to be good.
It'll be amazing.
This casting as long for Domino's as they, good. I'm ready for
as
it.
As long as, they just keep to the formula of the last one of where they just let them do what they want to do, it'll be great.
Yeah, that's the big thing. They just got to hands off, let them do. And I think they will because they've seen how well Deadpool worked and they've seen how well Logan worked. Which none of us have seen yet.
No, but I'm hearing.
Sorry.
But I'm hearing amazing things.
This time next week, you'll be hearing me talk about Logan for my Check It Out. I am going probably to see it too. Sometime between now and next week.
We've talked about going to see it like all week and just haven't done it yet.
Yeah,
that's pretty much the adamantium boat I've been floating in.
Yeah.
Which doesn't.
Well, anyway, let's go ahead and move on to some other stuff. If we're talking about casting news, we can talk about Jason Isaacs has been cast as the captain in Star Trek Discovery, the Netflix series.
Yeah, Star Trek series, which you may know him as, you know, Lucius Malfoy.
Mm-hmm. Or that one guy from The Patriot.
Yeah, General What's-His-Face.
Yeah.
General Bad Guy.
Yeah. General Bad Guy.
And again, good casting. Jason Isaacs is a fine actor.
I also think it's interesting that the series isn't going to focus on the captain. It's more about the lieutenant commander.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good change, I think. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be about the captain.
Yeah. I think Isaacs can be a good cross between, like, can kind of give bits of Shatner and Stewart, the two biggest iconic ones, because I could see Isaacs playing kind of like being a little bit pompous. Which would be Kirk.
Every character
and you get the fancy British-ness
of Patrick Stewart.
Sir Pat Stew.
You mean Jean-Luc Picard?
Yes.
If only we could get a little Janeway in there.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. I like Janeway.
Janeway's
no,
pretty
I
cool.
love Janeway.
Yeah.
Voyager. Voyager is great.
Yeah. Oh, it's It was the one that was the most different. Well, mm-hmm. there was DS9 for a while.
Nobody told me how good Voyager was.
So. Really? I've always talked about how good Voyager was.
Yeah.
Well, not to me.
A lot of people dog on Voyager because for one reason or another, but mostly because the captain was a woman. But
she's a good captain.
She's a good captain. Yeah.
She loves her coffee.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, that's a reason right there.
Yeah, exactly.
And 709 is awesome.
Well, yeah.
Your close personal friend, 7 of 9, yeah. right? That one time she retweeted you or something?
Yeah.
Oh, Jeri Ryan.
And not just because she's super hot. I mean, she is. But she's a cool character, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I got into a comment with somebody who was like talking about how like Worf was best tactical officer or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is Tuvok, like chopped liver or something? I'm like, well, I heard Vulcan's a delicacy on Kronos. I can't believe the guy who played Tuvok was one of the Spaceball troopers combing the desert with a pick.
Yeah.
That we ain't found stuff.
Yeah. Ship.
Yeah, we ain't found ship.
We have not found anything.
Yes.
Yeah. I love Star Trek. I really need to go back and finish my Star Trek watch through.
I
started it ages ago.
And every couple of years, I go through and try to watch
as many as I can. I love Star Trek. I used to hate it when I was a kid.
Oh, I loved it.
I'm like, Star Wars is better.
Because Star Wars is more action-y.
Yeah, Star Trek is boring. All they do is talk about stuff. And now I'm like, Star Trek is great.
It's super good.
And sometimes Data plays poker.
Yeah.
Star Trek and Star Wars are both great. And you can both.
They're just different. Yeah, they're both sci-fi space shows, but
they're very different universes.
Whether you like Star Trek or Star Wars, we can all agree that Battlestar Galactica 1980 is terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 1980 was garbage. Like
something we can all agree on.
Yeah, that's why it's only like 10 episodes long.
We can all agree that Jason of Star Command is a stupid show.
Yep.
Or Andromeda with Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, every time I hear the name Kevin Sorbo, I think of that one clip from Hercules where he's playing evil Hercules from the alternate dimension and he reads his like stage direction. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Yeah. In the show, it's like the end of the episode and he goes, "This isn't my world. Disappointed!" Where the stage direction was, he was supposed to say disappointedly, "This isn't my world." So he just yells disappointed. It's great. And it ended up in the show. Like they just left it in the show.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like one of the later seasons, I think.
I liked Hercules.
Eh.
But then Xena came out.
Xena's great.
Xena's amazing.
Xena's a good show. I haven't watched a ton of it, admittedly, but I used to
watch it religiously.
Well, the Raimi brothers were a big part of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I actually think Sam Raimi directed the first couple episodes of it.
Even. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
It definitely had that kind of a feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the 90s.
Plus Bruce Campbell's in, like, a handful of episodes.
Yeah, oh, I know, right?
It's always fun. Yeah. Well, anyway, while we're talking about casting stuff, they're doing an Inhumans Marvel TV miniseries on ABC. I don't really have the casting names up here. There's a ton of them, but they've cast just about the entire show at this point. And it's a lot of Game of Thrones former actors and a lot of...
Well, yeah, if their characters are dead, what are they doing?
Yeah, exactly. but I just kind of wanted to discuss this show as in a general sense, because not a lot of people know what the Inhumans are.
I don't have any idea.
They are the legally different, not mutants of the Marvel Universe.
They're the space X-Men.
Space X-Men, yeah. They're X-Men from space.
Ex-spacemen.
That can be used by Marvel Studios because they're not X-Men.
Nope.
Because they're actually tied closer to the Fantastic Four than anything.
And the Guardians.
And the Guardians, yeah. But their whole shtick is they're like mutants, but because they force their evolution before they actually happen, their powers are weird and like way overpowered to the point of being like grotesque almost.
Like Black Bolt, he can't even talk.
Yeah, he has a sonic scream power, but he can't turn it off. So he never speaks, and when he uses his power, he whispers. And it's enough to, like, level a building.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yep.
He is, like, he's the mute king of the Inhumans.
Yeah. And that's why I think they're doing this as a miniseries instead. That was originally announced as a movie, but I think they're going to do it as a miniseries. One, because it's going to take a lot of explaining,
mm-hmm.
more than what a movie could do to explain all the characters.
And not be a really over-chalked, convoluted film.
Yeah. And I think because of the popularity of stuff like Game of Thrones, I almost said King of Thrones, which is
King of Games, Game of Thrones.
King of Thrones. It's the Kevin James. yeah.
Yeah. It's Kevin James as a plumber.
The King of the Queen of the Thrones.
Paul Blart.
Yes. but no, I think because of the popularity of that, even though they're space mutants, their government system is very much like medieval.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you're going to get your cake and eat it, too. So you have your high tech and your mutants and your space and your King of Thrones all in one show, basically.
Yeah.
King of Thrones.
It's just what it is now.
Yeah, that's it.
This is the world we live in now.
Yes, yes.
Do do King of Thrones. Do 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 do. But no,
do 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 King of Thrones.
Oh, God. Trademark.
Yeah.
Yes.
Trademark us. We can use that.
But
first,
I'm kind of glad they are making it a TV show rather mm-hmm. than a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, because you're right, because there is a lot with the Inhumans and just a lot of things. Because a lot of like their story goes along with, you know, treaties with the Kree and, you know, things like this.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know how much we're going to get into with the show, but at least we'll see. There's a lot of Shakespearean like parallels. The Black Bolt, who's the king's brother, Maximus, is like, it's very Hamlet kind mm-hmm. of. Like Maximus tries to murder Black Bolt many, many times and
yeah,
all that stuff.
That, and they've kind of gotten at some of the Inhuman stuff in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, a little more generic.
Yeah.
But it
like,
is...
Like Quake,
yeah. But they great have game. Gotten into it. Yeah.
Great game.
Yeah, yes, great game. But it's interesting. It's I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an 8-part miniseries. It's on ABC, so I'm not sure how much they're going to be able to get into stuff.
Makes me wonder, mm-hmm. since they're doing a series with it, if we'll see those characters cross over into like Captain Marvel or something.
If it's going to pop up anywhere, it'll probably be Captain Marvel. Depending where they set the series, it might be Captain Marvel. It might be the Avengers. You know,
Infinity War.
Infinity War. We could just see them pop up more in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They might be using this as kind of like a introductory, so they don't have to spend time on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to introduce all of the different characters.
All the goofy crap.
Yeah.
There's enough goofy stuff in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I'm so far behind on S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm like a couple seasons behind.
I still never really watched it. I don't really have any interest in it.
That first season was good.
It was good. After the connection point to Captain America.
That's what I've heard that Captain America happening made it a better show.
Yes. Once you hit Captain America, the show gets very good. And you start to see bits of that when it crosses with Thor, the second Thor movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it starts to kind of upswing there.
Yeah, because...
And then it really spikes up after the whole Hydra thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just go bananas with the Inhumans. And Ghost Rider.
Yeah, the Ghost Riders this season.
Yeah, there's a reference to Man-Thing.
There's a yeah. Have you seen that first issue of the R.L. Stine Man-Thing book?
No.
Came out this past Wednesday.
Was that the Terror of Whatever?
Yeah, It's super cool. It's, from what I understand, it's super cool. Like, he regains his ability to speak and decides to become an actor, so he moves the Nexus to Hollywood.
Also, he's a ventriloquist dummy now.
Yes, he is a dummy.
And he's full of monster blood.
He has a bunch of spooky masks, yeah. Buys an amusement park. We're just naming R.L. Stine books at this point. Jack Black's in there for some reason. I don't know.
He's going to Camp Jelly Jam.
His brother's a werewolf, I think.
Yeah.
He's growing evil plants in his basement.
Yeah, he has an evil plant in his basement.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Why?
Why not? Hey, I think...
He's full of monster blood.
Just full of it. Toe to tip, full of monster blood.
10 out of 10, that's a man thing.
Yep. Well, we have a couple of quick hits. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but I just wanted to mention there is a new Steven Universe RPG game coming to console, which came out of left field.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think the show lends itself very well to like RPGs and fighting games and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man, I would play the ever-living poop out of a Steven Universe fighting game.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
Because everybody has like their own like set style and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
But this is an RPG.
And this is an RPG.
It's made by the same people that did the first Steven Universe Fight the Light. Mobile RPG.
Which was good.
It was a very good game. Especially
I wish
for
I would have had it on
game.
A tablet to play. Uh-huh. But it was a very good game. It's very, very stylized.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It looks like an upgraded version of that game, but for consoles. Even the graphics are similar, but better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, and it looks like it's set more around Beach City rather than various gem ruins.
Vague gem zones.
Yeah.
I wonder if fusions are going to be like the Limit Break kind of version.
Ooh, I hope so. Game.
Yeah, because they weren't really that big of a thing at the time that game came out.
Yeah, now it's like a huge part of the show.
Yeah.
Like, especially when Stevani starts fighting.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, Steven Universe. I love that show.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Smoky Quartz.
Smoky Quartz was awesome.
Yeah. All right, moving on to more game news. There's a new Overwatch hero. We've mentioned everyone up to this point, so we should probably mention...
Yeah, might as well hit this one. Yeah. It's a Centaur robot lady named Orisa that's built by an 11-year-old robotics genius girl from Nubani.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I've heard she is like a hard counter to Reinhardt as well, how she plays.
I wouldn't say a hard counter to Reinhardt, but more of a alternative to Reinhardt.
Okay.
Like her... combat style is, yeah, she can make shields, but she can make, like, multiple shields, and they are stationary.
Okay.
But they do the break thing like Reinhardt's, but she's also got, like, a laser machine gun and a weapon vaguely like Zarya's gravity gun.
She seems like the Wario to Zarya's Mario.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Because she has a similar technology, and she's an Omnic, and Zarya hates those Omnic.
Yeah. Though the new, the new webcomic they just put out was pretty good.
I didn't read it. I should go back and read it because the comics are real good, as
yes,
we've said
are.
Before on
we've
the
said
show.
That many times.
Yep. It's very Bastion-centric, which is the first chase we've really gotten in the webcomic.
And I just thought, aww.
Yeah.
Hey, Torbjorn's in there too. It's all cool. Set in Sweden.
Oh, nice, nice.
Hergen Dergen.
All right, and the last thing, and we can talk about this real quick, Cartoon Network and Boomerang are going to release a streaming service here this spring.
New Boomerang.
New Boomerang, yeah.
That's what I need to do is pay for another one of those.
Well, this one's pretty tempting, though.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
All classic cartoons. It's all the Looney Tunes.
Like old Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm. And all the old Hanna-Barbera and a bunch of other stuff. It sounds legit.
I'd at least sign up for a month of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, see if it's really worth my time.
Yeah. And they're doing kind of an interesting model with the sign-up, the subscription. It's either like $4 a month with a week free, or it's $40 for the year with a month free.
I might, after I finish My Brother and Me, might drop CISO and pick that up.
I've kind of thought about that as well. But I think that's kind of an interesting model. I think we're going to see more of these subscription-based channels go to, like, buy for the year in one lump sum, and you get a little extra for free, and you get a better deal.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to do it.
Kind of wish the Cartoon Network app was better.
I kind of wish Cartoon Network just played old cartoons.
Like they used to.
Like they used to. But we're old fogies. And they haven't done it like that since we were children.
That's why they made Boomerang, was for the old cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now Boomerang is
But no one ever really watched Boomerang.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, now Boomerang's full of the cartoons we watched when we were kids.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The evolution of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if I could have one place where I can go and watch Duck Amuck at any point.
Anytime you want.
Anytime I want. There. I'm done. I'm in.
I'd really like to go back and like maybe watch some of those like old war era Looney Tunes.
You won't see those.
Well, I know there are a lot of them are really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just thinking Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest would be cool.
I'm gonna watch Johnny Quest.
Some Johnny Quest.
Get some Herculoids up in there.
Some Space Ghosts.
Some Silver Hawks.
Yeah. Oh, geez, Silver.
Yeah, with their one human arm. Why would you? If you're making you're turning your people into cyborgs. Why are you leaving one robot arm? Don't answer that. And with that, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Sorry.
You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also give us a like at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverloadradio.
You can email us with any questions, comments, concerns at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You might have some now. What do? Twitter @nerd_overload. You can tweet us all
the
your
tweets,
thoughts, and ideas
with your good hand
and dreams with your with your one Starhawk robot arm. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
Yep, and we're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so check us out over there.
Give us a review.
That would be great. A review would be very helpful. It helps us move up the ranks and help people find our show a little easier. So anyway, thanks again for tuning in, and we'll be back next week.
Pizza out.